Blog Talk Radio.
Who's on the couch with Michael Couch today? Today. Find out now. Here's Michael.
Well, good evening, everyone. 8 o'clock today, and it's time for another edition of On the Couch. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host tonight, Michael Couch. The topic tonight is caregiving, and I have a special co-host with me for this hour, Tamika Watkins, who is a BSN nursing student in South Carolina, and the Toomey Healthcare System, a good Facebook friend, a fantastic person, a fellow Nerium user, shameless plug right there. However, this woman has more passion and more desire than I've ever experienced. For the entire hour, hopefully we'll have Mary Pelletier, a 40-year veteran of nursing in the RN capacity, and Latasha Walker, hopefully will be calling in from Las Vegas. Until we do that, gotta start with a little bit of music. So this is Dana Kelson with A Love That Will Last. When we get back, Mika Watkins is going to be in the house. Don't go away.
A love that will last.
All right. You're on the couch. I'm so pleased to introduce this woman, Tamika Watkins. My love will never die for you. Tamika Watkins is a BSN student at the Toomey Healthcare System in South Carolina, joining us to talk about caregiving, nursing, and all things good. Tamika, Mika, can I call you Mika, man? I mean, we're close, right?
Yes, we are, definitely.
Honey, I can't thank you enough for joining me tonight. Let's go right to the topic of caregiving. What does that word mean to you?
I would have to say that it means giving all that you have to whoever you are taking care of. Mm-hmm. And it means that it's coming from a good place, like your heart. You know, in order to actually care about someone, you actually have to, you know, to give good quality care, you actually have to use your heart, in my opinion. It can't always be just about the science of taking care of a patient. My opinion.
I certainly understand that. I forgot to mention, taking your call tonight at 516-418-5594. Go ahead and call in with your stories. Plus, if you feel like going ahead and chatting live with Mika and myself, go ahead up to the upper right-hand corner, click on the login with Facebook, and chat with us live in the chat room. I want to make mention, the Bachelor's of Science nursing degree has been chosen as the toughest degree among all of the undergraduate college degrees by the Guinness Book of World Records. On May 18th, 2011, it has 64 university exams, 130 series exams, and 104 assignments within 4 years. All BSN nurses, post this on your wall and be proud to be a BSN degree holder. Now, you're in the program right now, correct?
Yes.
How demanding is it? Let me tell you,
probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it's well worth it to me. Yeah. Even in the ADN program, which most nurses have their associate's degree, that is like boot camp,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have to think about it. We are RNs, and we pretty much have to know what our doctors know, and maybe a little bit more. And a lot of nurses will tell you we probably do know more than what, you know, the doctors do to a certain degree. I know that we get a lot more time with our patients, and that is one of the main reasons why I went the RN route. And so that I could get the hands-on with the patient as opposed to just the 15 minutes like a doctor does. But this is probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done, and this is my third career.
Right.
You know,
so
like,
let me just get this
I'm
straight.
I'm late in life doing this.
Let me get this straight. You have your RN. You are an RN. The
no,
BSN is...
I'm not.
You're not.
Not yet. I will
not
be.
Yet.
Right now,
you're doing double
technician.
Duty.
Yes. I'm
Jesus
a clinical
Lord.
Technician. I work alongside some awesome RNs, and I work full-time, and I go to school full-time, and I wouldn't change any of it.
Yeah. What are you finding? What do you find? I find this, I mean, Mary's going to be calling in from Texas in a little while, and she's a 40-year veteran of being an RN. Are you
mm-hmm.
finding... Are you finding the level of, what's the term, the level of scrutiny right now, especially with the HIPAA form and all of the, everything has to be so documented these days. I mean, back in the day, there was general, I don't want to say general nursing, but more of a humanitarian nursing where
mm-hmm.
it was the nurse between the doctor and the patient and the patient advocate that you can kind of, you know, I don't want to say fudge stuff, but you had a little more leeway. Nowadays, everything is all a blip, a scan, a UPC code. Do you find that this is a more beneficial way of nursing or more of a hindrance?
I think it detracts from actually what we're supposed to be doing, just how much paperwork we are responsible for. You have to think everything that we do, we have to think in terms of protecting our license.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so anything that you do with that patient, you need to make sure that all of your T's are crossed, all of your I's are dotted, and that you follow procedures that are put in place to the T, because the nursing board isn't playing. Like, they are looking at everything. And I, you know, I like to say I have the benefit of being able to observe the position that I will have in 2 years once I'm done, from an outsider's point of view. And whenever I'm doing my clinicals, I see what I have to do. You know what I mean? Like, as far as making sure that I have my meds in on time, that I make sure that I'm giving the correct med, that I'm giving the correct dosage, that you're doing the, you know, the right, and you're verifying your patients, and you're making sure that, you know, you've gotten their vitals before you give them something. There is so much that you have to do, along with making sure that your patients are taken care of and you're giving quality, I don't want to say service, but like quality care to that individual, that I think that all of that extra documentation does detract from actually what we are supposed to be doing. And that's, you know, being there for our patient, right there for our patient.
Right.
Because you do a lot of documenting, you know, even in as a nursing student, before I have to write nurse's notes, you know, whereas as an actual RN, I can go in and I can click a button. I actually have to write this stuff out and turn it into my instructor before I can actually put it into the system. And then it becomes part of that patient's actual record. So,
right.
You know,
which is,
we get a
which
taste
is necessary.
Of everything. Mm-hmm.
Very, very necessary. Let me ask you this. Do you find there is a dissonance between being compassionate and quality caregiving? I mean, there is, this is what I understand just from my experience with Steve and everything, is that there is the quality healthcare, especially with all of the documentation, all of the scanning, all of the making sure everything is right. Then the compassion takes over, the bedside manner, the understanding that the patient is, I mean, there are, I don't know, how many types of patients are there? There are the ones who understand what's going on. There are the ones that are frightened, that don't know what's going on. There are the ones that are totally taken by surprise with the current situation. Then there's those ones who just need that compassion because perhaps they're alone, perhaps they don't have a patient advocate. But do you find that being compassionate is more important than being that detail-oriented? I understand what I'm saying is muddled, but do you get what I'm going with?
Yeah, I do. And I have to say that you have to find a balance between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have to be detail oriented. We read orders that doctors who come in and they spend maybe 15 to 20 minutes with that patient. We're there for 12 hours.
Absolutely. What would be your patient load, Tamika? Just give us an idea of that. So there are you and then how many patients on say, for example, the floor you're working on?
Okay, I'm in the intensive care unit. So our patient ratio is a lot different than whenever I work on the floor. Say if I'm in, let's just say I haven't worked on oncology, but say if I am on the oncology floor, those nurses may have up to six patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas our nurses are one to two, depending on what's going on, or one to three.
Right.
You know, depending on the severity of that patient. And sometimes I've seen, you know, in the ICU, our actual patient to nurses ratio go down to 1-to-1 because, you know, that patient may be on some type of precaution where we need someone just there constantly monitoring that patient. While our patients are more, you know, they're in the ICU for a reason because they're very sick, I think that 3 is even a little bit too much.
Right.
You know, because most of our patients are either on a vent, coming off of a vent, have something called, it's endocrine problem called diabetic ketoacidosis. And when you have someone that is in DKA, you're constantly monitoring their blood sugar levels. And they're on an insulin drip, and you have to keep, you know, pulling labs and sending that down and, you know, talking to the physician and getting orders changed based on what the labs are, you know. So I see that, you know, like on our floor, I see where maybe 3 is just a little bit too much depending on, you know, the severity of that patient. Whereas on the regular floor, 6 patients, to me, I think is a lot.
Right.
You know, and then you have to do all of the documenting, and then you have to think that they also have to, you know, be in there and be visible and do their rounds hourly. And that's where someone like myself, a tech, comes in handy for that nurse because we're actually their assistant. You know, so it's like it takes a team to actually give that type of quality care that we're talking about giving. One person can't do it by themselves. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And you got to be so on your toes because especially you're handling so many different issues and so many different patients, and you got to be a lot of things. Take calls tonight, 516-418-5594. You're talking with me, Michael Coach, and Tamika Watkins. You're listening to On the Couch. We're going to go to a little bit of music. This is Desiree. You got to be more with Tamika Watkins when we get back. Don't go away.
Your fears, my, oh my, eh, eh.
gotta be. We gotta be a lot of things in this world, I'm telling you that much.
Everyone has questions about business, love, pets, or life in general. Did you know the universe has answers for you? For an appointment to check the inbox for your messages, call or text me, Sandy Athey, at 410-747-6510. Your message is waiting. Call or text me, 410-747-6510. Safe journeys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Ah, Sandy Athey. Love her.
Sandy's away tonight. And we're back. You're listening to On the Couch with me, your host, Michael Couch, and my special co-host tonight, Tamika Watkins. Tamika, we have guest 1677. You thinking that's your boo driving home from Virginia?
I'm thinking it is. I'm hoping it is.
Well, you should call in. Pick up the phone,
hi,
boo.
I know, right?
Absolutely.
I've told so many people today. My instructor from Francis Marion, actually both of them, they should be listening as well. So,
well, hello to them.
Hopefully they'll give me some good feedback tomorrow.
You know they will. Taking your calls tonight at 516-418-5594. Feel free to go ahead and join the live chat. Upper right-hand corner, click in and log in with your Facebook. Tamika, you said this was your third career.
Yes.
What were the other two?
I was a therapist, and then I went from there to hospitality. And actually, I went from the hotel industry to restaurants. And I found that I like to cook. And my family will probably be like, no, she doesn't. She's lying. Because I was always the one that would be like, let's order out. I'm not cooking anything. I couldn't boil water. And then all of a sudden I got into the restaurant industry and found that I had a niche for cooking and, you know, got hooked on doing that. And I mean, when I was growing up, I always knew I wanted to do something in the healthcare field. And I thought maybe, you know, the mental health would be the way for me, but that just turned out to be very heart-wrenching. And then found out that the hospitality industry is just like being a therapist anyway. So my husband was getting ready to retire, and he's just like, why don't you follow your dream and go back to school for nursing?
Wow.
And that's where I am now, so...
You didn't find it daunting at all? I mean, you knew exactly the road that had to be taken, the level of education, the challenges that you'd have to face. You didn't find that a little like, ugh, no, maybe not?
I do. I question myself every day. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, God, we all do.
I'm really serious. Like, the Guinness Book of World Records is very on point with the fact that this is one of the toughest degrees to get, you know, and not everyone is accepted into the program the first time. Not everyone is accepted, you know, into, you know, their dream job their first time. And I feel like I'm very blessed to have been accepted into my prior school and this school that I am in now. I switched from the ADM program to the BSN program because it just made more sense for me at my age to just go ahead. And I had, you know, my prior degrees, and my school accepted all of that, and everything is just, you know, smooth sailing right now. However, you know, I'm not taking anything. Like, I tip my hats off to the ADNs, the LPNs, the techs, the, you know, nursing assistants, the actual BSNs, the MSNs, DMPs, all of them. I mean, like, there's a lot of work that goes into this, Michael, that a lot of people don't really know what we go through. And when I say it's like boot camp, I mean, it's like boot camp.
Oh,
like,
honey,
you are getting grilled.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for your learning and for your role. I know with Steve, the last 5 years, we had, well, last 3 years we had hospice. The last 10 years we were in and out of hospital. The biggest allies I had were the RNs and the techs. They would give me the most information. And let me ask you this. What do you find that would be influential and valuable in a patient advocate? I would call myself a patient advocate because, you know, being gay and with Steve and the laws that were available at that time, I never had a problem getting information from anybody. I would come in with, my God, the amount of money I spent on Hershey Kisses with almonds just for the nurses alone, just to actually understand, because you are working 12 hours. Yes, you have, you know, you have 9-12 patients. Yes, you are exhausted. I am just here to make your life better. I've changed beds. I have changed bedpans. I have done everything. What do you look for in a patient advocate that shows that that caregiver is actively participating in the patient's recovery?
Compassion.
Absolutely.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge of
concern.
The actual process, you know, being concerned, having empathy. I know where I work at, we have, and it's something I actually live my life by. It's called I Care, and it means integrity, compassion, accountability, respect, and empathy.
I love,
you know,
that. Repeat that one more time.
It's integrity, compassion,
Chin.
Accountability, mm-hmm. respect, and empathy.
Beautiful.
Without all of those, how can you call yourself a patient advocate?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that you are there without, you know, you're there for the right reasons? You know, far too often in any career field, you know, a lot of people are there for money. That's the
yeah.
only reason why they're, you know. And yeah. those people, I say, you know what, go work somewhere where, you know, go do something else. Because mm-hmm. when you're dealing with people's lives and you're dealing with their families, and it should be, you should feel, and I like to say, I feel like I'm honored to be there for my patients and their families. Like, to me, this is, you know, like you said, you know, I have a passion for this, you know, and to me, it's not like, okay, oh, I'm going to work and, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in here and I'm going to be, you know, changing butts all night, because, you know, as a tech, we do clean up our patients.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's my honor, to be able to bathe that patient and to be able to make sure that, you know, I'm making my patients comfortable and I'm there and I'm holding their hands whenever they are going through a procedure that may be, you know, a little more uncomfortable than they already are, you know, or I'm there and I see a patient, sister, brother, you know, significant other, wife, husband, whatever, and I see them crying, to be able to just go up to them and give them a hug, you know, that goes a long way. And I mean, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, Steve earlier, watching you go through that was during my time that I was trying to figure out whether or not I was going to leave my well-paying job and take a step out on faith, you know, and pursue something that, that to me is worth more than any dollar amount anybody can offer me.
Wow.
You know? And being there for someone who's going through cancer or HIV or, you know, the end stage of their life, or, you know, being able to be there when somebody is bringing life into this world. You know, there's, you know, two different ends of that spectrum, you know. Just to be able to share that with another human being and to know that I've made an impact on someone's life by smiling or, you know, holding their hand or rubbing their hair, you know, that is such a fulfilling part of what I do.
It really is. Don't mean to cut you off there. God, with what Steve went through, the most, this is what I commend every RN, every nurse practitioner, everyone in the middle between the patient and the doctor, is that there has got to be such a level of compassion to understand that that person in that bed, no matter how general or how long-term the illness may be, the fear, the lack of integrity that person feels, the dignity that that person goes through. I found that with Steve, that his anger a lot of the time was founded by the fact that he was a very virile man, and to mm-hmm. realize that everything is shutting down, that level of compassion has got to be there just for the kindness, because the kindness that you experienced and exhibit with just a hug, a hand hold, a stroke of the top of the foot, those things go a very, very long way. Taking your calls tonight at 516-418-5594. Tamika, we're going to go to the 803-464. We got a call in here. I believe this is Latasha Walker. Is this Latasha?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is actually Rosie.
Hi, Rosie. How are you, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sumter, South Carolina.
Well, apparently you know Tamika Watkins.
I do very well. I'm her immediate supervisor.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for calling in. Give me your thoughts on caregiving.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing. I just want to quote my favorite quote that I've ever learned throughout the nursing process in school, in practice, and it's that medicine may heal the body, but nurses heal the soul. And Tamika comes from that place.
Oh, she does. I can't agree more with you. How long have you been nursing?
For 10 years. Before that, I was a paramedic for 10 years.
God. Well, God bless you. Jeez. That is a huge level of understanding and caregiving. Do you still like it as much as when you first got into it?
I love it. It's ever-changing. It's dynamic. They expect a lot of us. They demand a lot of us. But it is all for the intent of the best possible care that we can give our patient population. And I think it's all designed just to make sure that they're receiving the best possible care that everyone can collaborate to provide.
Right. What do you find is your biggest challenge in the nursing system where you are?
I agree with Tamika. There's a lot of documentation. It's all for safety purposes, holding someone accountable for what their actions. And the big thing that they say in nursing school and in nursing practice is if it's not documented, you didn't do it. A lot of it has to do with legal, documentation. But it's a requirement, and it's a challenge that we overcome, and we have to realize the reasons behind it. It's all for, making sure that those patients know that we did our very best to take care of them.
Yeah. You find, I want to ask both of you this. What is your biggest pet peeve? Come on, I know it. I know the answer myself. I've talked to so many nurses. Come on, why don't you go ahead and give up the goods?
I think the internet has probably been the biggest challenges these days, because there's so much information out there that you just go to a website and type in your symptoms. It's going to give you a diagnosis. So we have these armchair nurses and doctors that assume they know more than we do, despite all your years of training and learning and on the job, practice, and it's kind of challenging.
This is exactly what I was about to say. The WebMD doctors that come in, definitely the internet. While it can be good for you, it's also sometimes you just have to trust the person that's been through the training, and not what you read.
Yeah.
Because everything, I can put up a website, it's incredible information, but it may not be.
Yeah. No, I understand. One of my biggest pet peeves is all of the medication commercials. Ask your doctor about blah, blah, bleep, blah, and side effects could be diarrhea, bleeding from the eyes. Why would you go to a doctor and say, hey, I think I need this shit? You know, that's the kind of stuff that really gets on my nerves, because it's a self-diagnosis that really is screwing up, because they don't understand that it's just a money-making situation. You can't put a Band-Aid on a carotid artery. It doesn't work that way. And so that's one of mine. I just had to go ahead and do this. But anyways, thank you so much for calling in. And please love my girl, Tamika, because she's very important to me. And you sound like a woman who is absolutely desired and wanting to help. And thank you for all the times that you haven't heard that. Thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Call back soon.
Thank you.
You got it.
See you later, Rosie.
You got it. 516-418-5594, taking your calls tonight. We're going to go to a little bit of music. You're listening to On the Couch with me, Michael Couch, and Tamika Watkins. Going to Holly Cole, Cry If You Want To, because everybody cries, and it's just up to you. Cold Trio with Cry If You Want To. Lovely, lovely song. And we're back on the couch with my special co-host, Tamika Watkins. The topic is caregiving. Give a call in at 516-418-5594. Share your stories or go ahead and log into the chat room with your Facebook account. We're right there. Tamika, let me ask you this. I have a problem with anyone crying in my presence. I like to pretend I'm a tough guy. However, do you find tears debilitating or healthy?
Healthy.
Healthy.
Good yeah.
One.
Healthy. I'm going to tell you, the first time that I started at, like, this is my first healthcare job where I'm at. And the first time we lost a patient, I cried. And my charge nurse, who is amazing, asked me, why was I crying? And I told him because, you know, we couldn't save him. And he was just like, well, you know what's going on with him. Do you really think that your tears should be of sadness, or should they be of the fact that we were able to help him move on in a peaceful manner?
Right.
You know? And that was really like one of those, like, aha, you know?
Yeah.
One of those aha moments, you know? And it really made me think about the whole process of, you know, losing someone and, you know, even just somebody that you just met. I mean, you know, you take care of them for the amount of time that we have them. You develop a bond with your patients if you are a good caregiver. I'll put it like
Absolutely.
That. You should develop a bond with your patient. So, you know, now I find that whenever I cry, I'm crying because I'm happy that they're no longer in pain. I'm happy that, you know, they aren't suffering. I cry because I know that they're in a better place. You know, whereas I used to see death as like, oh my gosh, it's so, you know, it's so bad. But now I'm seeing it as, you know, depending on the situation, kids, I can never see anything positive about that, you know. But someone who's like in their 90s and they've lived their life,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and they are suffering from, a disease. I'll take cancer because I just lost my older sister to cancer last weekend.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just like, you know, I'll say it, you know, Gabby lived her life by her own terms, you know, and she left here on her own terms. She had a terminal illness that she knew that even if she got treatment for, you know, she wasn't going to live.
Yeah.
And she wanted to, and she left the way she wanted. She left the way she lived her life on her own terms, you know. So while I have been very sad and I've had my moments over this past week, I've also had those moments where I'm driving and I just crack up laughing because I'll think of, you know, when we have done something silly or, you know, or I'm just thinking like, you know, this heifer just left us. And
yeah.
she gave everybody, you know, her
yeah.
butt to kiss when she left. She's like, I'm leaving on my terms. You're not going to tell me I have to do this, this, and this. You know, no. So, you know, the tears are healthy. And if you don't cry, I think there's something wrong with you.
Well,
that's
the compassion part of it. Taking a call at 302-723, calling in. I believe this is Mr. James Gillis. Jim, turn down your computer.
Taking a call at 302-723, calling in. I believe this is
Mr. Hello.
Jim, are you there? Hello, Mr. Gillis. How are you?
I am fine.
Fantastic. Tamika Watkins and myself here. Let's get your take on caregiving.
Tamika Watkins. Wow. I say, not only does your mentor call in and tell you what a good job you're doing, but it is just so wonderful to hear your words.
If you make us cry,
you are a caregiver. You are someone who cares. And me so happy. I'd like to be in your hospital.
Wow.
You're gonna make me cry.
I know, I'm tearing up right
cry,
now.
Michael.
Now my voice is gonna get all screwy and blah blah blah. Jim,
yeah.
I want to let you know that I have a daughter, 37 years old, who's in an institution with a trach and who has givers, for the last 5 years. My wife and I did all of those years beforehand, but now we're in, the last ends of life, and it's nurses and it's people like you who give us hope and help. Thank you.
Oh.
I'm going offline. Thank you very much. Tears.
Okay.
Sorry.
Tamika, take that one, because I'm tearing up here. Jim, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. And I'll be praying for you and your family.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. I love this show. I love the fact
that we're
going
to have to do this again.
We're going to have to do it many, many times. Taking your calls tonight at 516-418-5594. Call in, talk to Tamika Watkins and myself. Tamika, let's go to a little bit of song. And to Jim Gillis, Tamika and I send our love, our prayers, our understanding, and huge hugs.
I gotta go find this issue.
Yeah, me too. This is Drew Steens with Forever. Don't go away.
Watch you.
Drew Stevens forever. And we're back on the couch with me, Michael Couch, and Tamika Watkins, my special co-host. Tamika, that last call, not going to lie, very, very moving. And actually, he's calling back in from the 302-723. Welcome back to On the Couch. Is this Jim again?
Yeah. Hey, well, I got it back together. And the thing is that I want to say to all of you who are aspiring to be nurses and who really take care of our kids or our spouses or our loved ones, that you are the most important people in the health care lives of those we love. And I see your compassion. I hear your love. And all I want to say is thank you all nurses for taking care of my loved ones and for taking care of every loved one that you care for. It's such a wonderful career. It's such a wonderful calling, and God bless you.
Well, Jim, I want to go ahead and do this. Thank you so much for being a great patient advocate, because we all understand that these nurses are underpaid, overworked, and the fact that you're able to go ahead and point this out, especially with a special needs daughter at the level that she's at. Jim, from me, and I'm sure from Tamika as well, we send nothing but the most healing love and white light and lavender understanding to you and your daughter and your wife. And please understand that every bit of love in our hearts is right now wrapping around you, holding you in a tender form. Seriously, well said, well spoken, because
back at you all for bringing this to the forefront.
Thank you so much. Jim, do me a favor. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the fridge. I want you to pour yourself a big glass of wine. And I want you to relax. And I want you to know that you are loved by everyone. Please understand
that. Yes, you are.
Aren't we all?
Hopefully. Yeah.
Feel the love. It's all about compassion and empathy and caring. That's what it's about. That's why we care.
Exactly right. Yes. Exactly right. Jim, thank you so much for calling in tonight. And
you're welcome.
Again, our love comes to you. And please keep listening to On the Couch, because call in, because you're a great caller.
I will.
Again. Absolutely. We love you, buddy.
All right. Thank
love you,
Tamika, for being a wonderful guest. Keep going.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Oh, I am.
Oh, my gosh, you're going to be a doctor. You can be a doctor and even be more effective.
Yeah.
All right. My eyes are filled with tears. Jim, have a great night.
Too.
Good night. Tamika, you can't help but feel the love.
I know.
The understanding that your importance in this world is valued beyond belief.
You know something, Michael, today I was in vet school, obviously, and they had a sign up about becoming a physician assistant. And I looked at my my little counterpart, and I was just like, Steph, what you think? You think I should do the PA or what? You know, and she's just like, you know what? I'm not trying to say anything about your intellectual ability, because I know that you could do it. but I think you would be better served as an RN. And then someone like Jim calls in.
Changes the game.
If that didn't solidify the fact that I'm doing and my calling is actually what I'm, you know, working towards and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I mean, then I'm blind, you know. God speaks to us in mysterious ways, and I'm telling you, like, I was even questioning. I was like, well, maybe I should do that, you know, like I already have the credentials I could, but no, I want to keep on going and... You know, I will have that BSN behind my name and then keep going, and eventually I will be a doctor of nursing practice. That's the
Honey,
end goal. And, you know, but I will never leave the bedside. I'm telling you, like, I will always be a human.
All about divine intervention, not to go ahead and cut you off. We're running out of time, 8:58.
Yes.
Tamika, you've been a great co-host. And
thank you for asking me.
Thank you for coming on. This is a very important topic to me. I want to revisit it time and time again because the importance of caregiving is exactly that. It's caregiving. It's love. It is understanding and wisdom. And you know what, woman?
Yes.
You are a wise, wise woman. And whether you become a BSN, an RN, or a doctor, the world is your oyster, and Tamika, your heart is first and foremost the most important thing to me and the most attractive thing. Plus, you look pretty good with the Neri. I mean, I hate to go ahead and do, you know,
thank
put that
you, sweetie.
In. Oh, honey, seriously. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of On the Couch. I'm your host, Michael Couch, and my special co-host tonight, Tamika Watkins. Tamika, where can everybody
Hi.
Find you on Facebook?
I am actually under Tamika Watkins. That's where they can find me.
Have I been mispronouncing your name the whole show, Tamika?
Everyone does, but it's
my bad.
That's the reason why I said just call me Mika. It's okay. it's T-I-M-I-K-A L Watkins, and I am on Facebook. And please friend me, or if you just need someone to talk to, just, you know, inbox me if you're
you
going through
it.
Something. I'm always there.
Tamika, I love you tons. You've been listening to another edition of
love
On the
too.
Couch. Love you, too. Till next time, be kind to one another. Love you, Tamika. Call you in a second.
Love
Take
you.
Care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.